Start in earnest, I have a couple of announcements to share with you regarding the order of service. Oh, and by the way, I'm Perry Scruggs and pleased to be with you once again. Instead of the printed hymn of praise, we're going to be doing the first stanza of hymn 707, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated. I think you will find that familiar enough. And then again, when we do the fraction anthem, as I break the bread after it's consecrated, on page 10, we are not doing this, the one that's printed, we break this bread. Instead, I'm going to say the Hallelujah, Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us, therefore let us keep the feast, and then we'll sing an additional fraction hymn, which is the first verse of Let Us Break Bread Together on Our Knees. So that will come at that point on page 10. So just a heads up on clarification about the order of service. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my life and let it be. be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Paschal mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonder, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside of the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades. Oh, let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the way of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would be put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke to the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. Thus Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Indeed, I have a good name. the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night.
I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not fall.
My heart therefore is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope.
For you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One speak of it. You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forever.
A reading from the letter of Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into the inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now, for a little while, you had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith be more precious than gold, that through perishable it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Jesus Christ, according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and nails my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Okay, since it's the low Sunday, what we always jokingly call the first Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter, because everybody's spent all their money on Easter and Holy Week, and it's time to go, okay, now we don't have to worry as much. I thought I'd start out with a pop quiz. Are you ready for a pop quiz? A pop quiz on the resurrection. Okay. First thing is, in what context or setting do most resurrection appearances occur? Anybody got any ideas? No? Well, that's a good second choice, because several of them do occur at the grave, but not most of them. Most of them occur elsewhere. Cloud? No? What are we doing here today? In the context of a meal. most of them occur in the context of a meal, the road to Emmaus, this one that we're reading today, and the one where he eats the fish, the one where he has breakfast on the beach for them. Most of the resurrection appearances occur in the context of a meal. And therefore, the second one should be easy for you. What's unique about the people present at the resurrection appearances? In all but two cases, it is the fact. What's the who is there? Who? The disciples, some followers, women. It's a group. It always occurs in a community, a group setting, except for in two cases. You know what two cases he appears to individuals that we have recorded? Now, a lot of things, as is said in the gospel, a lot of things weren't recorded in this book, so maybe this is wrong, but according to our biblical record, do you know the two times he appears to individuals in the Bible? Mary, right there in the garden, and she mistook him for the gardener. Yeah. What's the other single one? I tell you, it's not in the gospel. It's in the book of Acts when he appears to Paul. And he says, "Why, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he heals him of his blindness, and he goes on to be one of the most group-oriented Christian teachers ever. And then I'll close the quiz with this question. How often do we have the gospel reading that we had today in our calendar, in our three-year cycle of readings? How often do we have this particular gospel lesson?
Once.
In the three-year cycle? Nope. Good guess, though. Once every year. This is one of the few gospels that is always read on the same Sunday every year. Most of the other ones, when they read the same story, it's from a different gospel. But John is the only one who has this story, and maybe it was chosen because it occurs on Easter Day, and it occurs again a week later. So here's the context. We read the one for the week later every year a week later. And that's an interesting aspect of it. And this particular gospel really contains a nutshell version of the whole gospel. In fact, my mother used to say to me that the Trinity isn't biblical. And that's basically true. The Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, rarely occurs in Scripture. There are very few times where the Trinity is either called, named, or experienced as all three ways we know God in one place. One is, of course, the creation, when the Spirit of God hovered over the deep and Jesus was in that presence of the first creation. And this is a second creation. And so it contains new life, recreation. He breathed on them like the Spirit of God. God blew the Spirit he breathed unto Adam, giving him life. And of course, Jesus is present. So creation and new life and the Spirit are all present in this one reading. And that makes it particularly important. It's interesting that, I remember the Cotton Patch Gospel, where they retold this story, and Jesus came and joined them. He came in through the door, not through the open door, through the door. And they were gathered to remember. What is the Eucharist about? But it's a gathering of remembrance. Everything we do is a remembrance of something that Jesus did with his people. And they were gathering to remember and to try to sort out and make clear what had happened earlier in the day, and all of a sudden, there he was. What we like to call that is a prevailing presence. That the resurrection is nothing save a prevailing presence. A presence that goes through the door, that is not about something rational, but something irrational, but special. It's a prevailing presence. And what does he say to them? He says, "Peace be with you." Now, if you recall, when he was in the upper room doing the Eucharist and giving his farewell talk in John's Gospel, "Peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you. Regard not our sins, but the faith of this church," is one of the collects that we have molded to fit into our liturgy. Peace. He says, peace. Peace. In other words, don't be separated, but be joined together in my presence. Let my prevailing presence bring you together. And then he breathed on them. He blew over them. One of the most inspiring baptisms I ever witnessed was when I was at Canuga at a conference, and the speaker, the keynote speaker for that conference, was Desmond Tutu. And they got somebody who wanted Desmond Tutu to baptize their baby, so we had a baptism with Desmond Tutu. And what did he do? When he sanctified the water, usually the priest goes the sign of the cross over the water. Tutu goes, he breathed on them. And what did Jesus say when he breathed on them? He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Those whose sins you forgive will be forgiven. Those whose sins you retain will be retained." And if that's sort of the key into the presence of Jesus in the resurrection, I flunk. Because I surely fall short of forgiving everybody who does me wrong. It's so hard to live with that, and yet that's what peace is about. Notice in our service, the peace comes right after we've confessed our sins and received God's forgiveness. And what do we do in turn? We share that forgiveness symbolically in reaching out in peace to one another. Well, I have to admit, I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because I have one friend who we had a disagreement. In fact, it came to blows. And I tried to forgive, but my forgiveness was not accepted. And to this day, I'm barely pleasant with this person whenever I happen to be in this person's presence, which isn't very often, and I'm thankful because it was a hassle, and therein lies my fault. Because if you can't truly forgive, how can we really be in the presence, the prevailing presence of Jesus in eternity? And likewise, I need forgiveness. And I'll tell you why. It comes from an experience I had that has haunted me throughout most of my ordained ministry. It was in my first 3 years of ordained ministry, and sure enough, I went to the hospital. And They had all the clergy who came to the hospital had to sign in before we could go up onto the floor. And so I had signed in and everything. And then I was going to enjoy a little after I finished visiting my people that I needed to see. I liked to go and get one of those old-fashioned milkshakes that they made in the snack shop at the hospital down in the lobby of the hospital. And so I was in to get a milkshake, and I heard over the loudspeaker, "Reverend Scruggs, Reverend Harry Scruggs, please come to the front desk." That's why they wanted us to sign in case we needed to be grabbed while we were there. So I went to the front desk, and they said, "We need a clergy person up in room 347 upstairs." So I said, "Okay." And so I dashed up the steps and went and found room 347. And as I turned out of the elevator and started down the hallway, I could hear, "Oh, Mama ain't coming home no more. Oh, Mama ain't coming home no more." And sure enough, I walk into the room, and there are these two very large women on either side of a bed with obviously a body in the bed and a sheet pulled up over the body. And they're moaning, "Oh, Mama ain't coming home no more." If that doesn't test your belief in the resurrection and the power of reconciliation that's called for a green, young, recently out of seminary and clergy person, I don't know what will. What do you say? Well, I had developed my own concept of what I thought resurrection meant, but I knew instantly that wasn't going to cut it. Because my basic belief is that the sins you've forgiven will be forgiven, the sins you've retained will be retained, and true resurrection is when you've truly made contact with people and you are with them eternally. That connection, that love, will never die. Well, to two people who are in the immediate hurt of having lost a loved one, "Well, she'll always be alive in you," doesn't say much, doesn't do much. And so, I still don't remember what I said and how I handled it, but I'm sure I had to say something about, "Well, if you're Christian, you must believe that she's in a better place and you'll be with her eventually." And all they could say was, "Oh, Mama ain't coming home no more." So there is something for which I need forgiveness. For I'm sure that my meager little efforts to comfort them hit the ground with a thud. And I wonder if when I get to heaven, if I get to heaven, and if those ladies are there, they'll forgive me. And if we are united in the resurrection, if the presence of Christ surpasses death, the greater magic that makes death work backwards, that there will be forgiveness and reconciliation. And the person that I wronged, that I couldn't work it out with, or the persons who I didn't even mean to wrong, but did wrong maybe by not going far enough, and maybe that's my problem, not theirs. But the point is that the prevailing presence of Christ fixes everything. The prevailing presence of Christ can never be denied. True, the point of the lesson today is partly about Thomas and believing and all that, but believing is to be loving. Believing is to be living with. Believing is to be always in the presence of the prevailing presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God of rebirth, the good news of your resurrection brings refreshment to the weary world. Following the women to the tomb empowered us to boldly share your radical love through our words and our works. Hear us, O Lord. As you breathe your spirit into the disciples, breathe your spirit of healing upon all creation. Nourish the earth with the sufficient rains. Strengthen us to counter the effects of pollution and destruction. Hear us, O Lord.
Your mercy is great.
You prepared the disciples for their ministry by calming their fears and granting them your peace. Equip our community leaders, especially our mayors, Tim Kelly and Weston Wump. Give them a spirit of peace and hearts that burns for justice, that their leadership reflects in your love. Hear us, O Lord.
Your mercy is great.
You come amongst us in unexpected ways. Send us to those who hide in fear or question your love. Be a healing presence for any isolated by the addiction, incarceration, mental illness, chronic pain, sickness of grief, especially Ava, Belinda, Henry,
Linda,
Harry and Terry, Bob, Joyce, Juliana,
Kelly,
Cindy,
Debbie,
Randy. Your mercy is great. As you met the disciples on the road to Emmaus, show us your presence along our journeys. Bless our doubts and questions. Provide trusting and safe relationships for all our ages. To nurture our condition to you, our connection to you and one another. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Resurrecting God, you believe you bring us to new life every day. Thank you for blessing us with your companions on our faith journey, especially those who now rest in your love. Strengthen us with the eternal peace of your promises. Hear us, O Lord.
Your mercy is great. Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
For your reading. Peace. Do we have an announcer person today, or are you leaving that to me? Because if you left it to me, I don't know what to say. The floor is open for announcements. Anything need sharing? If not, then I remind you all are welcome at our Lord's table. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sins of the world. By his death, he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to pray, to proclaim your glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country, where with blessed Thaddeus and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, firstborn of all creation, the head of the church and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia! Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia! For the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ rose for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now unto God's gracious mercy and protection, we commit ourselves. May God bless us and keep us. May God's face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. And may the light of God's countenance lift us up and give us power and peace to know and to do God's will this day and evermore. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go forth into the world rejoicing in the power and presence of the prevailing Christ. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia.